Welcome to ATS Mix.
I think until you start asking questions, you know, you're just going to buy whatever's offered to you on the 6 o'clock news.
ATS Mix.
This isn't a talk show, it's a freak show.
From AboveTopSecret.com.
I'd also be skeptical of the people who are out there selling conspiracy theories.
The Internet's most popular conspiracy theory discussion board. ATS Mix. From AboveTopSecret.com.
In the name of Christ, just let us in!
Starts now.
The cow, yeah, the cow's,
I think the thing for the show thing, Johnny explores the flock of cow theory.
Hey, listen, Dave, it's episode 28. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it. It's hard to believe. Of course, it's one after 27, so I guess I have to believe it.
Off air, we were having a little fun because Johnny made a big faux pas.
You mean about the flocking cows?
Well, it wasn't flocking cows. In my verbiage, I was mentioning how something happened to a flock of cows. And
That's right.
Anyway, it was quite funny. The reason why we're talking prior to doing our little interview here, we were talking earlier before doing this interview. In fact, I believe you updated the thread page there on our plea, our request to be able to get some true believers.
I made a little oomph thing that says atheist one, all others zero, because the atheists, and now we got the pagans coming up this weekend, they're all jumping on board on this thing.
Yeah.
But all the Christians and the Muslims and the snake worshippers and all the other people and the guys on the bicycles, nobody's jumping on the bandwagon, John.
Yeah, what happened to the home team?
I can't figure it out. You know, it's driving me crazy. I thought the Christians would be beating the crud out of the pagans and the atheists, but, you know, they're getting the crud beat out of them. I don't understand it.
Hence why they're hanging around with a flock of cows.
That's right. And that's why the cow jumped over the moon.
And ran off the side of the cliff when they...
Because they travel in flocks now.
They travel in flocks. It's not really a contest, folks, but really, we do need some support and your help here. And it is a member-participated segment that we are trying to accomplish. So please, get on the horn and you two, you, me, and say, hey, look, I'm a pagan, or I'm a Muslim, I'm a Christian, I'm a Jew, I'm a Buddhist, and I would like to help YOU. And we'll be more than happy to set up a conference call and do a roundtable discussion. Now, let's get into what we're here for, and that is episode 28, where we're going to be interviewing a gentleman that's quite interesting.
I got to say, this guy, Winfrey, no kin to Oprah, but this guy, Winfrey, he was really a super, super nice guy. And
he was.
You know, and it's kind of like the Fonda interview to me. You know, like him or dislike him, this is an interesting show, John. It really is.
ATS Mix.
Yeah, listen up.
From Above Top Secret.
Jesus Christ.
.com. Featured interview.
You may recall that not too long ago, Dave and I, along with the AboveTopSecret.com team, were at the San Jose UFO Expo. In our ventures there in San Jose, we had a chance to meet and greet a bunch of very interesting people. We also got to introduce ourselves to a lot of folks that we normally wouldn't have had the opportunity of meeting. And one of those folks was a gentleman by the name of Winfrey, who I happened to be passing by in the vendor concessions area in the hallway. Every time I was going anywhere, there was Win. And Win approached me and asked me who I was and what we were doing there. And I explained what we were doing. And he says, you know what? I would be a very interesting guest for you. Oh, and why would that be, Mr. Free? And then he proceeded to tell me. And and as he was explaining it to me, I thought, well, you know what? This does sound very interesting. And so we decided, you know what? I think we've got a scheduling conflict that canceled out on us today, so maybe I'll give him a call and see if he might be up to doing an impromptu interview. And it turns out that he is. And so we have this gentleman with us. He's a fascinating gentleman. I think you folks are going to be very entertained and possibly educated also by what he has to say. So at this time, would you please welcome Mr. Winfrey. Hello, Win.
Hello, Johnny, and hello, Dave. I am so glad to be on your show. And hello to the Above Top Secret audience that's listening.
Great.
We're glad to have you here, sir. So that everybody will kind of understand who you are, perhaps you might give a little background as to why we should be interested in Winfrey in the first place.
Okay. Well, I have been a guy that's been into metaphysical things all my life. Years ago, I was influenced by Edgar Cayce. 7 years ago, I discovered a website about a guy that said he had a resonance with Edgar Cayce, and I started studying him, and I became certain that he was, in fact, the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And at the time, I was writing articles for a metaphysical magazine, and I interviewed him, and the interview led to me writing a book called The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, which is on the market right now, and is changing people's lives. And for your viewers that don't know Edgar Cayce, he died in 1945 and is often compared to Nostradamus. For 40 years of his life, he would do these readings. His children opened up a library of his 15,000 readings. He could tell people what was wrong with them. He could do past life readings, and he could predict the future. And there's been 500 books written about Edgar Cayce since the time of his death. So I was 2 years into writing the book, and I had a new girlfriend. We were taking a drive, and she spontaneously started to channel. And the voice that was talking to me for the next 6 months was predicting newspaper headlines, doing miracles, and they called themselves the Council of Elohim. And I found out that the other side was looking at me, partially because I wrote this book, or was writing this book, and that they were giving me a lot of support to get this book and this information out into the world, and they were validating some of the things that even I was finding hard to believe or incredulous in the way this book would say what was going on our planet right now.
Are you yourself, sir, a Christian or a pagan, or what is your background?
I would not identify with anything external. I have studied many, many spiritual things. When I was in college, I was influenced by some of the Swamis that used to come through, Krishnamurti, Ram Dass. I don't know if you know who he is. But I decided that if something was true, I had to be able to validate it for myself, and that what I didn't want to have a belief that I couldn't validate. I would be open to it, and that would be it.
Right.
Edgar Cayce was probably the most validated thing I ever came across, because here's a guy that demonstrated this ability to know of almost omniscience. He could, you know, he could diagnose somebody's disease with medical precision and predict alternative remedies that doctors are still using today. And he never remembered what he said. He was in a trance. So I said, you know, there's got to be something more to life if a guy can do this. And I just wanted to understand that was my perspective.
Sure. Now, education-wise, if I recall correctly, did you not say that you studied at the University of California?
I was at the University of California, and I studied physics and philosophy. And then, if you want to know more about me personally, I became a musician and a songwriter. And at a certain point, I was having songs recorded, and I was doing gigs around the country. And I felt that was my strongest suit for many years of expression until all this stuff started happening.
What topic of field of interest was it in physics that you were interested in?
The fact of the matter is, I was interested in physics because when I was in high school, I was into electronics. I was a ham radio operator. I was building my own transmitters. I would go home when I was 13 years old. I would be talking all over the world. And it seemed like I had an aptitude for it. And so when I graduated high school, I said, well, you know, if I have this aptitude, I have to have a career of some sort. So maybe I should aim at being a physics professor. And that was, you know, then actually when it came to the nuts and bolts of studying physics and being in college, it kind of got boring and I got more interested in playing music, as a matter of fact.
All right, I want to take us on a sidebar, Wynn, if you don't mind. You have a very unusual name. First name, Wynn, W-Y-N-N, last name,
Free,
F-R-E-E. Now, my logical question would be about the name is, are you kin to Oprah?
No, I'm not kin to Oprah. Actually, at a certain point, I didn't introduce myself to Oprah. I had that name when I was born, but I cut and pasted it, okay? It's like I took, because when I was playing music, I decided I needed a name that was more memorable than the name I was born with. And it just stuck. It hasn't gone away. So that's how that's come about.
Okay. All right. So, so much for the typical Dave Rabbit question. Now I'm going to go to one more of a non-Dave Rabbit question. Tell me about David Wilcox and why you're so sure that this guy is a reincarnated Edgar Casey.
Okay. Now, I will tell you that David is not that anxious to put this out into the world. And in writing this book, we kind of almost fought about it because he was so concerned about the responsibility of making a claim like that for, to be somebody that's influenced millions of people. But as I studied David's story, and I became sure that he was telling the truth, and I confirmed it, whether you believe in reincarnation or not, this guy has a connection with Edgar Casey, statistically, that would be billions to one. For example, it started out where he was living in New Paltz, New York in 1996, and he was read a book on dreams and decided he was going to start recording his dreams. And he put a pad by his bed, and in the morning, he came up and looked at the pad and found that there were sentences, like somebody was trying to talk to him and communicating with him and counseling him. Now, he thought he was making it up. He thought it was part of his own unconscious. But he kept doing it, was fascinated. After about a week, this dream voice, is what he called it, made a very specific prediction for his future. And that prediction came true on exactly the day and the time that his voice said it would happen. So now he's very fascinated. And for the next year, he's got tape recorders rigged up. He's writing things down. And they're continuing to make predictions. They're continuing, but their main focus was counseling him, trying to get him over his hang-ups, so to speak. And so he called it his dream voice. After a year, his dream voice asked him to move to Virginia Beach, which happens to be where the Edgar Casey Library is. And when he moved to Virginia Beach, people started staring at him, because it turns out he was the spitting image of a young Edgar Casey. And now he goes home and he asks his voice, he says, "Why do I look like Edgar Casey?" And they said, "Because you were Edgar Casey." And if you study Edgar Casey, you'll see the parallels, except this lifetime, you're not going to be doing your highest purpose if you do past life readings and health readings. We'd like you to be a public figure and explain this dimensional shift. So David immediately goes and starts studying Edgar Casey. Not only does he look like Edgar Casey, his father looks like Edgar Casey's father. His girlfriend at the time looked like Edgar Casey's wife. Edgar Casey, in his own readings, said, "I will return in 1998, live in Virginia Beach, and may be a liberator of the world." And it's 1998, David's voice had him go to Virginia Beach, and he's supposed to explain this dimensional shift. And his astrology chart has connections of 1 in 260,000 tying him to Edgar Casey. So billions to one connection, you know, and this is all verifiable. And then you add to that, he's got this voice coming through him that has this incredible wisdom, this incredible understanding of the human condition, and they're counseling people with wisdom that David could never, ever come up with from his own consciousness.
Right. Now, this voice, this voice that is using him or channeling through him, who does the voice claim to be? Actually, Edgar Casey?
No. Edgar Casey was a body. And the premise is that the very same voice that spoke, speaking through David, spoke through Edgar Casey. Now, who this voice is, and this is like a big, now this is where somebody can't verify this. So I say, take this and be open, but don't believe it because I tell you, because it's beyond each of our individual things to verify this information 100%. But they identify themselves as a social memory complex or a group soul by the name the Ra Group, and they claim to be a composite of billions of individual souls that no longer have bodies that have graduated from this realm. You know, spiritual people have the term getting off the wheel of reincarnation. Well, what happens, you know, there's the idea that you go through many, many, many lifetimes, and then eventually you've learned your lessons here and you graduate. Well, this group soul is made up of graduates, not only from Earth, but from throughout the whole universe or galaxy. And now they act as a helper for planets, planetary populations at lower levels of evolution. And the implication is that this group's soul was the voice that was connecting to Buddha, to all many of the spiritual teachers throughout our history. And now they're coming through David Wilcock and giving the current take on what's happening.
All right, let me ask you a question about the Ra scenario. Now, this all lends itself back to the Egyptian days, does it not?
Well, there's a connection to that, and basically, if you read the Edgar Cayce readings, you will find that Edgar Cayce, according to his readings, had a lifetime in Egypt, and his name was Ra-Ta. And in that lifetime, Edgar Cayce became the human being that went down through history as Ra, the Egyptian god. In fact, this group soul was working with Edgar Cayce, and according to the Edgar Cayce readings, the pyramids were built by levitation. This group soul worked on that project, and that Edgar Cayce was just like the human ground for their energy. But because so many manifestations and miraculous things happened around Ra-Ta, that he became known as Ra in Egyptian history. And that's from the Cayce readings themselves.
Okay, now this is a sidebar. And the reason why I like doing sidebars is because when I listen to people talk like yourself, and you obviously are very passionate about the subject, I want to go back to something you said earlier, which was about channeling. Now, for those listeners that don't have a clue about channeling, can you briefly just tell me about what the process is when someone channels someone through themselves?
Yes, that's a good question. And a very good way for someone to understand this is to realize that everybody, in a certain way, has channels. Now, they may not channel the group souls, and they may not channel discarnate entities, but suppose you're talking to somebody in the morning who is your wife, and you talk to her, you automatically talk to her a certain way without trying, because your energy is becoming connected to her energy, and it will affect every bit of how you express to her. When you go to work and you talk to your boss, your energy is connecting to his energy. In a sense, if you're the least bit sensitive in your life, you are going to be different people for different people that are around you. Different people are going to come through you. And it's not because you're trying, it's not because you're manipulating, it's because we each have an energy, and we each feel each other's energies. And if you feel somebody's energy, you are going to change your communication to fit how to communicate to them automatically. Now, there are certain people that can feel the energies of things in other dimensions, and they can merge with those energies, and they can be a voice for those energies. And, of course, whether it's John Edwards, who can, he's not a channel, but he picks up, you know, discarnate entities, to Edgar Cayce and David Wilcock, that are communicating with a group soul. Okay, which is they say it's not just one voice coming through, David. It's they're like outside of time, and they are like putting together the words, so by the time it comes through David's mouth, it's just perfect.
Right.
So more like a legion of voices.
Yes. Well, it's like a cooperative that they're very tight. They're telepathic with each other. This is the way they describe themselves. And they can operate, they can come together as a team, they can separate and operate more individually, they span through many dimensions. And for many people can feel their energy in this realm without even knowing that's them. There's an implication that they're one of the voices that has come through, like for the prophets and in the Old Testament and connected with Jesus, that this is one of those sources that has been interpreted as God throughout our history. And And they don't say that overtly, but there's certainly the implication in many of the channelings.
Okay, I've got one quick follow-up, and because you said something that just kind of is very interesting to me. You said that when you channeled, you're channeling a group of folks, okay, or a group of entities, if you will.
Yes.
Now, to give listeners some concept of that, I like pulling things that I have seen in the visual world, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing I can think of to where I can visualize that is Poltergeist.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the movie Poltergeist, Carol Ann's standing there, and she, you know, gets kind of pulled in. And for a brief period of time, you see these spirits, or these entities, if you will, and they're in a kind of a group scenario. So is mm-hmm. this kind of the same thing when you're channeling? I mean, you're connecting to a bunch of different people on the other side. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it would be, I have to reverse engineer this because I'm a human. I've asked a lot of questions, so I have the understanding of the answers. A better way of trying to look at this is, did you ever go into a room where there were a group of people doing a high meditation and the room had a high vibration to it and everybody was quiet and reverent? And when you're in that room, you could feel the energy, and all those people were creating that energy together. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Only it happened to me one time, but it was only when I was in high school and I walked into the girls' gym.
I see.
By mistake. There was a big energy level there, and I got suspended.
Let's try it a different way. Were you ever intimate with a woman that were after you were with her, there was like a very calm energy, no one had to talk, you knew each other's needs, you could kind of intuit how to be with each other? That's a group
If you
energy.
Find a woman like that, can I get her number?
Okay.
All the women I've been around want to just get a 2x4 and beat the living crap out of me. So, okay. No, I've never been in that plane though. But I understand what you're saying. I do understand what you're saying though.
Did you ever see a bunch of musicians that look like they're psychic, like they're playing riffs and one knows what the other's going to do almost much faster than they can think of it?
In the '60s, oh yeah, yeah. Many times.
I mean, when you guys are talking to a guest. Do you ever notice sometimes you get a chemistry and it just flows and there's no effort involved? You see, group energy is not such an unfamiliar thing. Each right. of us has an energy, and that there are many times in our life, in fact, to some extent, all the time, we're involved in one group energy or another. And as soon as we are, we become different. We change. Now, in a group soul, there's free will, and then there's surrender. So they're moving back and forth, and I can only imagine how this takes place, because I can only think of one thing at a time, as you guys can.
Right.
But somehow or another, that quality of group energy is amplified amongst them to a max, and there's billions of them. So a billion group souls making one group energy is very, very, very powerful. So, as I would guess it, when Edgar Casey was being asked those questions, they had many people of this group connected to Edgar Casey and saying, well, you go get this, and you go get that, and you get this, and that, and they're just operating as a big team, and boom, before you know it, they're coming back, and they're coming back with exactly the right information. And that's the way I can only imagine that it works. But they said it's not one voice, it's a group.
Right. Okay, I have a quick question here. You keep referring back to David Wilcox being the reincarnation of Edgar Casey. How did you actually come to know about David? And how long was it before you actually made contact, or who actually made contact?
Well, what happened was somebody... This is actually, part of the story is really funny, and I'll make it fast.
I like it already.
You do. do you know who Sai Baba is? You ever hear of Sai Baba?
I believe I have. Is he Ali's brother? Ali Baba's brother?
No. Sai Baba is this Indian guru who many people think is God incarnate. Okay, he's very famous. Right. And somebody posted something on Rents, that Sai Baba, a story about how Sai Baba was having sex with his male disciples, and they were just shredding dune.
And this isn't a gay story, is it?
Somebody sent me this thing on Ranch. They sent me this article, and I went through the link to see who wrote it, and I ended up on David Wilcox's website.
Ah.
And so that's how I met David. And I said, oh, my God. And then, you know, first, you know, his website was not very well organized at the time. And it was almost embarrassing considering that he was Edgar Casey. But he was, you know, he would say things like, don't worry, the rent will get paid. We'll be up here. Wilcox makes another psychic hit. And, you know, he was busy trying to, you know, be credible. And I went into his website and I found the story that I told you just now about him being in New Paltz and all that stuff. And I said, you know what? If this guy is telling the truth, then he has to be Edgar Casey. I mean, too much connection. And so when I interviewed him, for this magazine. The editor was very skeptical. She looked at his website and called me back and said, this guy's a wacko. And I said, Susan, he may be a wacko, but he's Edgar Casey, and what he's doing is very important. And so she said, well, you can interview him, but I'm not going to run the interview until I read it. And so I interviewed him, sent it to her. She called me back instantly and said, Wynn, you're right. He's Edgar Casey. And I think you're the guy that's supposed to write the book about it. And really, anyone who reads the book, it's very hard to come to some other conclusion than the fact that he is Edgar Casey.
Right. All right, let me, while we're at this part of the show, let me encourage our listeners to get their computers up and running and in Google. I want you to Google Wynn Free, which is W-Y-N-N space F-R-E-E. And then I want you to Google Edgar Casey, which is E-D-G-A-R space C-A-Y-C-E. Now, it's pronounced Casey, even though it looks like C-A-Y-C-E. Okay, I've got
We also want to tell everybody where Winfrey's website is, which is
exactly. I was going to let him do that though.
Oh, okay. Well, I've already let the cat out of the bag. So www.theinsidescoop.org. And go ahead, Dave.
Okay, theinsidescoop.org. Okay, very good. Do you have any other when you said you did your book, when? How long has your book been out?
Been out about 2 years.
2 years. And if people wanted to peruse that book and purchase the book, where would they go to your website?
Well, they can get. Let me just say that it's available everywhere. And if they get it from my website, A, they help support getting this out, and B, they get a free CD of one of my talks. So the website that I have dedicated to the book is caseysback.com. CaseysBack.com, and we also have a fulfillment house, which will answer an 800 line. You can place it over the phone at 800-345-NOOK, N-O-O-K.
Okay, now here's my last question, and I've kind of, like I said, I googled everything that I could Google, and I love googling. Johnny taught me the joys of googling. In fact, he's going to write an autobiography somewhere down the way of the Johnny Anonymous Joys of Googling. In my process of googling, I came across something I want you to explain to me, and then I'm going to toss it to my partner for his last question to end the show. What is the law of one?
The law of one, that's a very good question.
Thank you. Would you say that again, please?
It's a good question, okay?
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
Ra talks about the law of one, and simply speaking, it means that the entire universe is one energy, and each of us, somewhere or another, are in part of that energy. And our souls or our spirits are fluid, not like our physical bodies. Like, for example, the fact that the three of us are having a talk right now means that, to some extent, our spirits are connecting. We're creating a group energy, and the people that listen to this become part of that group energy, and we rearrange the cosmos for a moment. And then we go back to our lives. Well, the law of one says that everything is part of you, ultimately. And we just separate ourselves out, so we lose that experience, most of us. And that if one is going to move up the evolutionary path of consciousness, the experience that everything is part of you, not the belief, but the experience. I mean, the experience that everything is part of you, what does that lead to? It leads to compassion. So, you know, you can't pretend compassion. You have to feel it. And the only way you can feel it is saying, that guy is me. And so the law of one is the raw terminology for that experience in the physical realm.
Thanks. I was looking through the Wikipedia on Edgar Cayce and came across a few things that kind of surprised me. One of them was that I guess that he was a devout Christian of the Disciples of Christ, which I found kind of interesting. And yet there were some Christians that regarded Cayce as someone who was misled by demonic forces and who had actually been led astray from what they saw as perhaps a true path. And so I guess what I was going to ask, you had mentioned that the Council of Twelve was being backed or was a voice box for Elohim. Is that correct?
Well, you know, if we're going to have one question, this is going to open such a huge conversation.
I know.
You know that? I mean,
I know that.
But, you know, we didn't really go into what happened to me there. And if we want to bring it up, here I am 2 years into writing the book. Of course, you know, the things I'm telling you on this show I've been living with for 7 years. When people hear this for the first time, they have to say, can this be true? Can this group, soul, be one of the forces that's been God? You know, I mean, how does this tie into religion? Well, you know, Edgar Cayce was a fundamentalist Christian. And when he first started channeling, his first thought was, maybe this is the devil. And he said, if this hurts one person, I'm going to stop doing it. Now, this voice that was speaking through him, which we're like saying is this group soul that's now identifying itself as Ra, they couldn't identify themselves to him in that way, because that would have scared him and made him think, maybe I am talking to something I shouldn't be. So what they did is for 20 years, they only did health readings. They did no reincarnation readings. They did no future prophecies, only health. And for 20 years, he got to see that all he did was help people. And it was only after 20 years that they started out, and what they did is somebody had some kind of problem, and I forget what it was, but they said, your problem is caused by this past life you lived, and that created the circumstances where you had to have this problem this life. And then everyone, of course, then asked about past lives, and it became a free-for-all, and he was open to it at that point because he said, I'm helping people. And in fact, he believed his source, he called it his source, was the Christ speaking through him. Of course, he never said exactly what the Christ was or how he identified that, but that's what he thought.
Now, you talked earlier about channeling. As I was perusing through and listening to your little podcast that you have that runs, by the way, folks, if you do go to www.theinsidescoop.org, besides perusing through the website, you'll also be greeted by an audio podcast that I'm assuming that you have put together, Wynn, of a variety of different shows that you've been on that kind of gives a very nice summary, pretty much, of what it is that you are leaning towards and what your belief system is. I guess where I want to go with this is along the channeling route is you have on this podcast Girlfriend X that you mentioned, and I guess that she was channeling, which then you later, I guess, developed a relationship with, and then it ended. And then later on, I guess you actually were able to channel. Could you briefly tell us a little bit about that?
That's not exactly what was presented there. It was girlfriend X and girlfriend Y, okay?
I see.
And and the reason I called them girlfriend X and girlfriend Y, and I was the questioner. I put up a website at the time called conversationswithmygirlfriend.com, and I left everybody anonymous because, you know, I was still writing the book. The book was not published. I was a little embarrassed having this experience while I was writing this book. I said, if I tell people about this, they're going to think I'm a wacko and I'm just out of it. So I put a website up because I felt the responsibility to put the information up, but I didn't identify anybody. I was also afraid of the repercussions. It's like, you know, what are people going to think if I say this? And are they going to, you know, attack me? Are they going to attack the women? Are they going to think we're fakes? You know, so I wanted to feel the response from people. But what actually happened to me, and this is one wild story, is that I had met this woman at a spiritual conference in Monterey, and okay. we had a really good connection. She was beautiful, and I found out she was married. And I said, I'm too old for married women, and just go back to your husband. And, you know, we didn't do anything. She went back to her husband. She was, like, living with a well-to-do computer mogul in Silicon Valley. And I was living in my RV writing my book at Denny's and Starbucks. So sure. She started emailing me, and I emailed her back, and she was sending me poems. And a month later, we connected. She said she couldn't stop thinking about me, and I told her, you know, you better tell your husband you have strong feelings for somebody. And then she actually, in what would look like an irrational, insane move, she left her husband, she left her security, and wanted to be with me. And I didn't really even, wasn't sure I thought about it or all the implications of it. I just knew that I had to earn more money because she was used to living in the lap of luxury, and now I was responsible for her. So right. At the time, I was selling things at different festivals and street fairs. And I had almost stopped just to focus on the book. But I booked this fair in Portland, Oregon. And we were driving to Portland. And we were in Northern California. And it was pouring rain. And I did a prayer of protection for safe driving. And at the end of the prayer, I looked up at the roof of the car, and I said, does anybody want to talk to me? Like a joke. And she answered. And she said, we're here. What are your questions? And I thought she's playing me along. She knows I'm writing this book. And right. So I'm having this conversation. And after 10 minutes, she says, that's the strangest thing that ever happened to me. Well, we just kept driving. I thought maybe it was a one-time event. I had no idea what it meant for the future. And we were staying up in Portland. We were at a hotel. And a couple days later, I asked her, would you like to try that again? And I'll tape it. So I said, does anybody want to talk to me? And again, there was an answer. And I asked them, I said, how come my girlfriend can do this? They said, my girlfriend was from another dimension. She incarnated here to bring these messages forth, that our connection was very important, and that they wanted me to help her be grounded. So then I asked them,
real quickly, when she would be channeling, did she have the same voice or did she have a different voice?
She had the same voice, but a certainly different emotional quality. For example, in her normal waking consciousness, it would be like, hi, I'm feeling really hot today, you know. And when she's channeling, it was like very clipped, authoritative. If you listen to the Inside Scoop, I think I have some of those channelings up there, okay?
Okay.
If you listen to the whole thing. And very, very, very articulate. So now I'm having this conversation, and quite frankly, I'm not sure if it's part of her personality that's making it up. I'm not sure if it's a positive force or a negative force. I'm saying to myself, I say to them, I said, listen, how do I know you're not part of a subfragment of my girlfriend's personality, or she's right. schizoid or something? I said,
sure.
can you guys predict a newspaper headline? And they said, no problem. And they said, watch for this headline on Memorial Day weekend, which was 2 weeks later. And 2 weeks later, there was the headline. So now...
What was the headline, if I can ask? What was the headline?
What they said was... Now, it wasn't exactly, but it was close enough that I said there's something going on. They said, look for a chemical spill in Arkansas. That's what she said in the channeling. And, okay. and Memorial Day weekend. And this is 2002. So now it's Memorial Day weekend, and I'm scanning the newspapers, and I'm looking for chemical spill in Arkansas, and I'm not seeing anything. And then I see there's an article about a tugboat hitting the I-40 freeway. Do you remember that years ago, 5 years ago?
Honestly, I do not.
No, there was a tugboat that hit the I-40 freeway, and it broke it. I mean, the freeway fell into a river, with all these wow. cars and trucks falling into the river, and the river
I
was
do remember that.
The river was the Arkansas River.
Right, I remember that.
And I said, you know, this is really, really too close. You know, a bunch of cars and trucks falling into the Arkansas River. That's not what I was expecting. I was expecting some sure. oil spill or something like that. But I said, I better give these guys a little elbow room of being real. And so... You know, we're going through this, and whatever else we were doing, they're saying, those guys want to talk to you again. And this, you know, we're going to sleep. Those guys want to talk to you again. And I pull out the tape recorder, and I'm taping this all. And they're just asking me to ask questions. So I'm asking questions about everything under the sun. And in particular, sure. I'm asking questions about the book I'm writing. And I'm saying, right. well, is David Wilcock really, is Ra really who they say they are? How does all this work? And they're giving me the same answers in the book. And, you know, we haven't gone into the premises of what's really happening. And if you guys want, maybe that would be another show, because there's this incredible view about what's happening on our planet from their side, that very few people understand. But they're giving me the same answers as were coming through Ra. And they identified themselves by the name, the Council of Elohim. And I look up the word Elohim. I Googled Elohim. You guys can Google Elohim. I know you're Google lovers. I find that Elohim comes up as the God of the Old Testament, the creator God of this realm, and the group that was talking to Joseph Smith when he started the Mormon Church.
Sure, he was out of the Israelites.
So I asked them, excuse me, I found all these definitions for Elohim. Are you guys the same Elohim? I'm thinking maybe I have some discarnate entity on the other side saying, hey guys, we're the Elohim. You know, I don't know. I'm not even going to believe them, but I'm going to ask them the question. And they said they were the same Elohim. And then I said, why me? Why me? And they said, well, you're like a cosmic midwife. You know how to bring these things out into the world. You don't have ego about it. You've done this in other lifetimes, and we've been paying attention to you while you're writing the book, and, you know, we want you to put this into the world. So the woman who we identified as girlfriend Dex, after right. 6 months, left me. She was freaking out over this, you know, and she was thinking I was crazy. She was thinking she was crazy. She was waking up in the middle of the night screaming. She was getting negatively attacked. So she left me. And I thought this was the end of an epic. I had all this big pile of tapes, and I was about to throw them away. But I didn't. Right. I started transcribing them. And then a few weeks later, I called my old girlfriend up and told her, you know, I was really suffering. I had a, you know, and if would she consider coming over and spending the night with me? And she did. In the middle of the night, she woke me up, and she said, "Get the tape recorder out." And
I had a girlfriend do that once too.
Did you? What? Yeah. Channeling in the middle of the night.
She wanted to channel in a different direction. Do I?
And Dave definitely had the tape recorder out.
I had photographic evidence.
There we go. probably marketable. But in any case, his voice came through. His voice came through Terry, and they said that it was the same Elohim, and that they were paying attention to me, and I could reach them through Terry. Now, believe me, I didn't believe it was real. I said, Terry's making this up. She's jealous of the other woman. I mean, she wants these abilities. But, you know, for the next 2 months, the same scenario, and I'm having these conversations, and eventually, when I would ask them questions and they would know all the stuff that was happening with other people, I said, you know what? I am talking to the same voice that spoke through Daphne. And, I mean, after 5 years of this, and one thing I didn't tell you, my sister was going to die. This is with Girlfriend X.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
My sister was on the verge of dying, and I asked them if they could help. And then she had a miracle. She didn't die. And when the doctors took her tests, they found out that something disappeared from her test that never goes away. Disappeared. She had lupus disappear from her test.
Ah, okay.
And lupus doesn't go away. And so I asked them, I said, how did you do this? How did you make her lupus go away? And they said, it was like putting a great filter in her blood and taking it out. Now, the Elohim is another group soul that, like the Ra group, acts as a huge conglomerate. And the difference is that the Ra group soul is made up of graduates of this realm. And the Elohim group soul is composed in general of spirit forms that have never taken bodies. So they actually say they created this realm. There's a free book I have that anyone, if they go to the insidescoop.org, can get this book called Questions and Answers with the Elohim, where it has some of my questions where they explain how prayer works, how they interact with this realm, how they created this realm. I ask questions about earth changes, and it's fascinating, and it's free. I'm not charging for it because I feel it's that important to get out. So if you go to the insidescoop.org, there's an email, and say, please email me Questions and Answers with the Elohim, because this has been going on now for 5 years. And actually, not only did I have this miracle with my sister, this energy is, I do a conference call once a week, and they've agreed to be on the conference call and work with the people that are checking into the call, and they're having miracles. They're having amazing things happen in their lives. So I don't think there's anything about the conference call on the Inside Scoop. But if you email, say, please give me some information about the conference call, because I think that's one of the most powerful things that I'm doing.
Sure. I have one last question before we wrap this up. And once again, we want to invite our listeners, if they would, can go to Wynn's site, which is www.theinsidescoop.org. And you'll be able to get more information. And also, I believe there's a link there, as you just said, to be able to download an ebook. This is my last question, Wynn, and I would be remiss if I did not ask this, because we do have many listeners that profess a Christian belief system. I wanted to ask you what your thoughts on this might be. There are many, as I said before, even when Edgar Casey was alive and not in the reincarnated form of David Wilcox, that thought that Edgar was possibly misled by demonic forces. So my question to you is, in the Bible, and this is going to make many of our Christian listeners very happy that I dug out the Bible to ask this question. There are several scriptures here that I found on psychics and spiritualism and whatnot that is pretty heavy. And so let me just throw them at you. In Leviticus 19:31, it says, do not turn to mediums or spiritualists. Do not seek them out to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. And then in Deuteronomy 18:10, it says that there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth, pardon me, my King James version ain't real good in the verbiage department, divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or one that foretells the future. And then in 2 Kings 21:6, let's see, the New American Standard says, he made his son pass through the fire, practiced witchcraft, and used divination, and dealt with mediums and spiritualists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. So I guess what I want to ask here, Wynn, if you were talking to a Christian, how would you be able to clarify and let them know that that is not a demonic form?
I would tell anybody that the first thing you have to do is use your own discernment. You have to look for resonance. You see, it's not about believing something blindly. Let's just suppose, you know, I have a cosmology of how things work, which I do. And
sure.
let's suppose that that cosmology explains a lot of what's happening on the planet and explains a lot about Christianity and explains like an overview of everything. And if I told that to you and you walked away and say, oh, now I believe that, you would be a damn fool, because you might as well start another religion, because religion is based on things that you believe without knowing for sure that they're true. And things that are true, there are people that are religious that know God is real. They validated it in their own way. And then there's people that are religious that say, if I go to church on Sunday, if I tithe, if I do this, my soul's going to be saved. But you know what? They don't know that for sure. They only believe that because it's been hammered into their life all their life, okay? Now, Jesus also said, these things I do, you can do too. When it comes to a human, there is no way you should give up your power to any human, even if it's Edgar Cayce. It's what can you learn and internalize and make your own. If something brings you closer to the spiritual part that you are, then it's brought you closer, and you can't deny that. It's not meant to be believed blindly. As I was writing the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, Ra was coming through David and was saying that there were times, because somebody channels even this huge positive, what I believe is a positive group soul, they are human. And there were times when negative influences actually did come through Edgar Cayce. They said that. And in fact, if somebody had been a student of Cayce's, they would remember that one of Cayce's most famous prophecies had to do with California would disappear in the wink of an eye, Tokyo would go down by explosions, and Europe would disappear, and there was going to be all this calamity, and there's going to be a pole shift, okay? And right. Now, through David, they actually, when I read Edgar Cayce 20 years ago, I remember reading that. And then I remember reading somewhere else in Edgar Cayce's readings where it said, these changes will happen gradually. And I made a mental note to myself. I said, these are two polar opposite statements about how things are happening. Why is that? And I never believed that 20 years later that I would learn that through David they were saying that the voice that came through Edgar Cayce that made that negative prophecy was not them. They said it was a trickster spirit on the other side that was trying to create fear and discredit Edgar Cayce's real work later on. And then when I went back to the Edgar Cayce readings and I looked at that reading, I found out that reading actually had a byline and a name. And there was a name that I was not familiar with, but they said, this is from your loyal servant, you know, blah, 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 blah. Then I did a search through, I had this Edgar Cayce CD-ROM, and I did a search for that name through the whole CD-ROM, and I found out that it's come through maybe 5 or 10 times on readings, and that finally the Edgar Cayce study group, which would monitor Edgar Cayce and make decisions about his readings, said, we do not want to speak to that entity anymore because we don't trust them. So,
sure. In
a sense, the Bible is correct. You know, the bottom line is, if you give your power up to a psychic, if you give your power up to Edgar Cayce, if you give your power up to Christianity, and you have not made your own connection inside your heart with these forces, you're not getting it right. Because it's not about a belief system, it's about an experience that you can internalize. And another thing is, when you come to the Bible, we don't know exactly how much of the Bible is actually accurate and how much was added. There was this Council of Nicaea that reviewed the Bible. You see, there are many things, when somebody comes like a Jesus, who I believe was a pure representative of higher spirit, in fact, by my cosmologies, I think Jesus was a member of the Ra group who volunteered to come into this realm, and that the Ra messages are the current messages of that force. And, you know, if you read those messages, if you read them in my book, you will see first the wisdom in them. There is wisdom in that voice that is undisputable, and there's an understanding and a care and a love for the human condition, which is undisputable. And I don't see, I mean, of course, somebody could say it's a trick, and if you think that, then throw the book away and burn it. But I have churches actually studying my book. I have Unity in Religious Science ministers, which are a little more, you know, liberal, endorsing it. You know, so that's my, is that an adequate answer?
I think that'll work. Tell everybody once again where they can get your book at, Wynn.
Okay. Again, the book is available everywhere. It's in bookstores. It's on Amazon. And it's also at my website, www.caycesback.com, where you get a free CD of one of my talks if you order it there. It's also available at 800-345-NOOK. There's also the insidescoop.org. Now, be sure to include the word the, because the is part of the URL, where you can hear some of the channelings that I've been involved in. I put and I've actually interviewed the two women who both have agreed to let this be public and realize that this is bigger than all of us and it's important. So they're both on there. So that I wanted to put that up so people could know that I couldn't possibly make this up and there's no chicanery. This has actually happened.
Right. Well, Wynn, we certainly do appreciate your time and patience with us and putting up with our occasional shenanigans also. So once again, Wynn, thank you very much for joining us on the ATS Mix.
Well, I thank you for having me and giving me the opportunity to share this.
Say hello to Oprah for me, will you, Wynn?
I will. I wish she would say... I probably have cursed myself from ever being on her show because of my name.
Well, so did Letterman. But look, Letterman finally got on after whatever number of years. So, you know, there's always hope for you and I, Wynn.
You don't know this, but Dave has an inside source at the Dionne Warwick Psychic Network. So he
I do.
Probably, yeah, he could probably put
I do.
A good word.
ATS Mix from AboveTopSecret.com is over.
You've been listening to the ATS Mix with Dave Rabbit and Johnny Anonymous. If you have a comment, suggestion, an opposing view, or would like to participate in a future show of ATS Mix, please contact Dave or Johnny at www.abovetopsecret.com. The views expressed on ATS Mix do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening. You may now reattach your tinfoil hat. We'll be right back.